minutes ago when I pulled up, there were no cars in the parking lot.
A little bit concerned that it was going to be talking to myself a lot. Speaking of talks, people always ask me, do I prefer to call my talks, you know, a sermon or a message or a talk? And I definitely don't like calling them sermons. And I tend to call them messages. I don't mind being called talks. Today, though, what I'm going to share with you is more of a reflection. And it's entitled Thoughts on Thanksgiving. So my mom passed away on New Year's Eve a few years ago. And many of my fondest memories of her and my fondest memories in general connect back to our Thanksgiving meals, our family Thanksgiving meals. It was always a really special time for me. My mom could put together a Thanksgiving meal that would more than hold its own, even when served up against the finest meals that's being served that day. At least that was true in my eyes and in my taste buds. Now, the warmth of the house on Thanksgiving, the comforting aromas of a home-cooked meal, the thankfulness that I felt in my heart as it filled the air of the room where the family was gathered and where we embraced and shared stories from the past year, all of that was a reflection of my mom for me. It was a celebration of comfort and abundance and gratitude, celebration of love. It was a celebration of family. My mom, well, she was the linchpin of our family. Secretly, Thanksgiving was probably actually my favorite holiday back then, even when I was a kid. And yet, I mean that. I loved it more than Christmas. I loved Thanksgiving. Of course, my early Thanksgivings were, they were built around the framework of what I had been taught was the first Thanksgiving between the Pilgrims and the Indians. It was an image of cooperation, mutual respect, celebration. And the Southern Baptist Church that me and my family attended also instilled in me that it was a gathering of giving thanks to God, to, as they would put it, the God of Christ for the abundance that He provided. Well, at that age, you know, I never stopped to think about how odd it was to attach the holiday to Christianity, considering that, according to the story that they themselves were telling me, half the people that they were there weren't even Christian. Now, the older I got, the more I began to see through the myth of the earliest Thanksgivings. I read Howard Zinn's A People History of the United States, as well as other less, shall we call them, filtered histories, such as the first ever actual proclamation of a day of Thanksgiving in the U.S., which was made by the governor of Massachusetts Bay Colony, who declared, this is the first ever declaration of Thanksgiving. This day forth shall be a day of celebration and thanksgiving for subduing the Pequots. Also noting it to be, no joke, a day of thanksgiving, thanking God that they had eliminated over 700 men, women, and children. That's the first Thanksgiving proclamation in the United States. The Pequot were a nearby indigenous American tribe. After a white man had been found killed in his boat, the English put an armed party together to avenge him. Now, blaming the Pequots for the death, they snuck into the tribe's camp at night and massacred them in a bloody takedown. So, thanks be to God. My love affair with Thanksgiving had begun to wane. I mean, we like to think of the first Thanksgiving. We like to think of that first Thanksgiving as a feel-good dinner shared with two equally powered groups who were learning to get along. But that story completely erases the context of how these groups came to rely on each other. As Roxanne Dunbar Ortz and Diana Gilio Whitaker have written in their book, All the Real Indians Died Off, a more accurate telling of the story describes the forming of political alliances built on the mutual need for surviving an indigenous struggle for power in the vacuum left by the destructive century of foreign settlement. As my love affair with Thanksgiving continued to wane a bit, I continued to watch the revisionist history try to repaint the beginnings and purpose of Thanksgiving all the way up to modern political takes of it from the likes of conservatives like Rush Limbaugh, who recently, maybe 3 years ago, said, it was not the Indians, it was capitalism and scripture which saved the day. Not only that, he claimed it wasn't just a difficult winter and food shortage to put the pilgrims' chance of survival at risk, but it was also socialism. He said that the pilgrims, their communal work ethic and its sharing equality with the whole community, well, that created an environment that gave the most creative and industrious people, quote, no incentive to work any harder than anyone else. And in his revisionist story, it was good old capitalism that ultimately saved the day. Capitalism and Thanksgiving. A match made in bizarro world. A match that's played out every Thanksgiving now. In an article I wrote for Huffington Post from several years ago entitled The War on Thanksgiving, I put it this way. We are slowly losing that essential ingredient in our Thanksgiving celebration, and it is a big problem. Thankfulness for what we have is the holiday's umami. As one of the five basic tastes, umami rounds out our culinary experience, making it fuller, giving it an enjoyable, lasting aftertaste. Well, appreciation for what we have does the same thing for Thanksgiving. It makes it a fuller experience, and it carries the enjoyment into the future. What Thanksgiving is headed toward because of consumerism pulls us further and further away from that life-affirming experience. Consumerism is serving as a giant turkey baster, sucking out the essential goodness of our Thanksgivings and basting the bottom lines of big box stores with it instead. With so many stores now opening on Black Friday for Black Friday sales on Thanksgiving Day, the irony could not be worse. It's as if they're taunting us with it. And us? We're completely buying it, literally. Now, I didn't realize when I was writing the article, but that was the beginning of my journey towards rescuing the meaning of Thanksgiving for myself. More hints of where I would ultimately end up personally in terms of trying to hold on to my love of Thanksgiving began to show through a little bit later in the article where I wrote, on a day about being thankful for what we have, many people will be rushing out to buy more stuff. Rather than enjoying the time spent with family or friends, they will rush out to battle strangers in an effort to buy more distractions. Distractions from what they already have, distractions from what really matters in life, distractions from time spent with others. There is a war on Thanksgiving, and the average American is, in my opinion, slowly losing it. And so many of us don't even see that it's happening. The tryptophan-induced malaise from a turkey holds nothing over the disconnected The disconnect that's induced by the media constantly bombarding us with messages telling us that we will not be happy unless we gather in more stuff. Thanksgiving as a celebration and as a day of appreciation for what we already have, that is a threat to all of those who profit from our purchases. They are so threatened by just a single day a year to set aside to be satisfied with what we have that it gives them the heebie-jeebies like a child at the kids' table at Thanksgiving who's just been served Brussels sprouts. The profiteers see this Thanksgiving as their D-Day. D-Day on Turkey Day. This is their Normandy. They have finally made landfall and have started to swing the momentum of the battle. And in making this comparison, please know I do not mean to take lightly the lives lost on D-Day. I make the comparison. But while there is still debate among historians about, quote, the first Thanksgiving, what's not up for debate is the white invasion of indicide that came along with it, that were built on greed and consumption and an inability to respect life, all of life. Is it that we've come full circle on our Thanksgivings? I mean, this Thanksgiving, the Trump administration is in the midst of taking away 321 acres from the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe. That's the very tribe who met the pilgrims, helped them survive in this new wilderness, and were probably the first attenders at the first ever Thanksgiving. Thanks in large part to an escaped indigenous slave, Tisquantum, commonly known to us as Squanto. Sure. The slavery now isn't much as so much slavery as it is a sort of indentured servitude where hourly workers are required to give up one of the most essential ingredients of Thanksgiving, being thankful for what we have. And instead, they have to become a cog in the machine of mass consumerism, all the while earning a paycheck that's frequently far below a living wage. Talk about an inability to respect all life. Now, I am managing to hold on to my love for Thanksgiving, but I guess that it's no longer so young and naive. I'm less interested in the overabundant meal and more interested in a time of quiet reflection on the things in my life for which I am. The consumeristic whirlwind which corporations are compelling upon us, which runs antithetical to what I understand to be the meaning of Thanksgiving, has also inspired me to not only consider the things that I have for which I am thankful, but in the true spirit of inviting all to the table. It's made Thanksgiving a time of reflection on how many do not have the basics of life that they need. So, every Thanksgiving now, instead of running out to give money to profiteers, I make a donation to a fair wage or workers' rights organization. Now, don't get me wrong. I ate plenty of turkey and stuffing as well as all the other Thanksgiving standards. Yes, even the cranberry sauce that maintains the shape of the vessel in which it came. But it was less celebratory and more thankful. Less caught up in my abundance and more focused on what I can do with that abundance to work towards a world where everyone has their needs met. Less about consumption, both in terms of food and goods, and more about redemption of what is still good and right about things. Many of my favorite memories of my mom connect back to our family Thanksgiving. In many ways, my personal new focus on Thanksgiving, while not a mirror image of my mother's Thanksgivings, is still very connected to her. She always taught me to be kind to others, to be brave enough to do the right, and to try to be aware of how my actions impacted others. I really believe that she would be proud of me to know what my Thanksgiving looks like now. I know that I'm proud to be continuing to try to live out all those lessons that she taught me. And I'm also thankful to be part of a community that embodies so many of those attributes and encourages them. So to you,